Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning, and a special warming, special greeting this morning to those who may be joining us on the live stream. It is good to have you with us as well on this, what is this morning at 10 o'clock on January 21st, a frosty and cold morning here in Cornwall, Ontario, but sunny, which is always the great blessing. When we lived in the West, we always knew that when the cold weather rolled in, you all were always guaranteed of nice sunny weather. So it's nice to enjoy sunny weather. The announcements were before you on the screens this morning, and I hope you had an opportunity to make note of all of those which are of importance to you. Special dates are starting to come around for things like annual reports and annual meetings, so make note of those, especially the deadline for annual reports. If at all possible, we'd like to have those in by the 4th of February. So please make note of that, those who are responsible. And we have an announcement for the January series. We continue to I can continue to promote the January series, a series of lectures from Calvin College in Grand Rapids, and they're always well, I made myself a liar this week. I said last week they were always interesting and engaging. There was one speaker this week who was not so interesting, nor was he so engaging. And tragically, that was the day that Chuck and Nick showed up to sit down and watch him with me. So that being said, the other speakers were fabulous this past week. I would particularly commend to your attention the gentleman who spoke on Friday on poverty. He was compelling. And I will probably steal some of the things he said in a future sermon sometime, so make note of that. But the others were, and the lady on Thursday, although they had some technical difficulties, it was like a 1 hour long poem. It was just wow. So we look forward to this week. And again, a great group of speakers. I'm particularly interested in Dr. Lydia Dugdale's discussion on the lost art of dying, ethical considering in facing our mortality, which, and then Felicia Wu Song, who is doing a lecture on Christian faith formation in the digital age. I think both of those will be incredibly interesting, as well as the others. But again, I urge you to if you want to watch them from home, you can register for them that way. If you want to come in and watch them at 12:30 on any day of the week, I'm here and I'm watching them, so I always appreciate the company. So just a note on those. And finally, a brief note that Les Folds, our oldest member of the congregation, continues to get older this week. Les will turn 104, so is there a card at the back, Barb? There's a card at the back for people to sign on your way out this morning. If you're friends with Les, give him a call this week and let him know. Wish him a happy birthday. I'm sure he'll be glad to hear from you. As we come this morning in worship, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that as we follow his light, we walk in his truth. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call, and I would invite you to stand as you come into the presence of the Lord. The words for our call to worship will appear before us on the screen. God is our rock and our salvation.
We wait to hear from God, our souls wait.
We depend on God alone.
We release what will pass away and rest in God's enduring mercy.
though God calls us down difficult paths.
We answer, relying on God's help, for God keeps calling us to the work.
Let us worship God. Let us pray. Great God, Jesus awakened the disciples to a new and life-changing purpose that caused them to drop it all and follow him. You call us here from our everyday work in this very busy world. Awaken us, we pray. Show us how to leave everything behind with our lives to proclaim the good news. Your kingdom is indeed drawing near. Make us into vessels that carry your message of love, that we might with others turn around, see, and believe. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is number 433 in the Book of Praise, or as the words appear before you on the screen. The hymn is All Creatures of Our God and King.
Thank you.
be seated. Friends, nothing can be hidden from the love of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, whose wisdom is endless, whose mercy is great. Trusting, therefore, in God's grace, let us confess our sin as we say together the prayer of confession, which will appear before you on the screen. O holy God, you called the disciples to drop their nets and follow you. Yet we are hesitant to drop the tools and comforts of our lives. We distract ourselves from your call with busyness, stress, and worry. We tangle ourselves in webs of racism, sexism, and hatred that disguises itself as fear. Forgive us, O Lord, and by your forgiveness, open our ears to hear your voice saying to us, follow me. Amen. Friends, those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up and fly like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not grow faint. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare to you, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Once more, let us turn in praise as we sing hymn 646, Lead Me, Jesus, I Will Follow. Number 646, we will sing it through. If you follow the screens for the beginning, it may help you with the following. We will sing it through once, then we're going to try something a little different. But we begin by singing through the hymn in its entirety, 646. It's two parts. You notice that? So, what we're going to do now is we're going to sing it through. Start it off with, Lead Me, Jesus, I Will Follow. This side is going to start. When they get to the end of the Lead Me, Jesus, and they start with the Open My Eyes, you all are going to sing, Lead Me, Jesus, I Will Follow. And we'll sing that through. We'll have to do it twice so that it makes any sense at all, and we'll see where we end up. And choir, if you will sing with this side of the church, I'll come over here with all y'all.
Lead me, Jesus, I will follow down the dusty pathway all alone. Teach me, Jesus, to follow. Your disciple I will be. Open my eyes that I may see. I will serve you. Your disciple I will be. Lead me, Jesus, I will follow down the dusty pathway all along the sea. Teach me, Jesus, to be loving. Your disciple I will be. Open my eyes that I may see. disciple I will be.
Thank you. And you've become a choir all of a sudden. You may be seated. When you were young, how did you know you were in trouble? How did you know? Yeah, usually something came before that, though, Serge. Your middle name. Right? If your mother came, or you heard your mother's voice from somewhere, and she was using your middle name. Mariah Rose Adams. Sorry, Mariah, I'm going to pick on you this morning. You knew you were in trouble. You knew you needed to, you were going to have to answer for something, maybe something you had done wrong, and you would need to turn around. Okay, we're all in the same boat now. Sorry, I walked off the camera again. We always knew we were in trouble when we got called by our middle name, or the middle and the last name, right? Maybe it was an incremental thing. Everything was okay if you just got your first name. You knew you were in a little bit of trouble if they used your second name, but if they used all three, oh boy, that was big time trouble. Jesus calls the disciples this morning. And it's interesting that as Mark records the calling of the disciples, Mark just doesn't say that Jesus meets fishermen. But Mark also says their names, Simon and Andrew, James and John. He places them within their family, the sons, of, or at least two of them, the sons of Zebedee. And he says that part of their calling was that they needed to repent, to correct their ways, to turn toward away from the things of this world and toward God. Just kind of like when we were kids and Mom wanted us to turn toward the rules that were part of growing up and growing into responsible adults. So as we hear the scripture lessons this morning, all of our scripture lessons this morning in some way or another deal with call, but particularly as you listen to the gospel lesson, listen for God's calling and what that meant for the lives of the apostles. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Saving God, source of our calling, your word is full of power and glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us so that we may receive your grace and live as your beloved children. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament, Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, and also verse 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh will be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed the fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it.
Second reading is a responsive psalm, Psalm 62, verses 5 to 12. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him.
He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken.
On God rests my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is in God.
Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us.
Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath.
Put no confidence in extortion, and set no vain hopes in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them.
Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God.
And steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord, for you repay to all according to their works.
Our third reading is taken from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 to 31. I mean, brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as those they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it, for the present form of the world is passing away. And now we will sing Gather Us In, which is printed on the inserts.
And our gospel reading for this morning, taken from the gospel according to Mark, Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee, the boat with the hired men, and followed him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, this is the sermon that Bill Hope wanted me to preach this week. So good morning, Bill. Which camera am I on? I'm on this one. Good morning, Bill. Bill's watching us from the hospital this morning, or he was hoping that Bev would show up with their tablet and they would watch worship together. But when I was up visiting, if you stay in hospital long enough, I use all the really good hospital texts, and then I just read you what I'm working on for Sunday. And so Bill and I talked about this reading from Matthew this morning, and I said, there's some stuff about time that I'm probably going to talk about. So the sermon title is, "What Time Is It?" Now don't look at your watches. Put them away. On the screen before you is a view from out the window in the study here at the church. It is dominated by the St. Lawrence Seaway Commission building on the corner of Pitt and 2nd Street, familiar to all of us who are gathered here, but perhaps not so familiar to folks on our live stream. It may not be the most inspiring of views. Dotted as it is with utility poles and wires running up and down St. John's Lane. But I find myself gazing out the window in the study several times during the course of any given day. What I quickly learned after moving into the study here at St. John's is that at the top right-hand corner of the Seaway building, there's a clock. And it's really convenient. Despite the fact that there's a clock that sits right on my desk, and of course, the computer display has its own little clock in the bottom corner of the screen, I often find that I allow my eyes to float up and glimpse the time on that clock that you see in the picture at the end of the block. Mark tells us in this gospel this morning that Jesus began his public ministry with these words, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Now is the time. In the Greek language in which the New Testament was written, there are two words that are used for time. One is chronos, and one is kairos. Chronos is one that we're probably a little bit familiar with. It still is the root of some of our English language words. Words like chronology, a chronology of event, a timeline. Or to chronicle something, to write something down in a historical fashion. Right, it speaks of the orderly listing of events and of time passing, of hours and seconds and days and the ordering of our lives. Kairos, on the other hand, speaks not just of the ordering of the passage of time, but it has a qualitative aspect to it as well. If you're a gardener, at least a gardener in the northern hemisphere, then you probably know that you should not plant any of your seeds until the first full moon after Easter. That is the right time. It's not just the date, but there is a qualitative reality about our climate that is indicated by that moon. Now, back to my view out the office window for just a second. And unfortunately, we cropped it just a little too close. But you all know this, right? There's something else that tells me information on Seaway Building. While the clock is important and the LED clock ticks by in hours and seconds waiting for my day to be over or for appointments to happen, the Seaway Building also tells me some Kairos time events. Because you see, on top of the building, just barely off of the border of the screen, there are two flags. You know this, right? There are two flags on the top of the Seaway Building. And I have learned that those two flags provide me with important information as I work in my study. Those two flags indicate for me which way the wind is blowing. And you might not think that that is an important piece of information for a minister to have as he's working through his day-to-day life. But on a week like this week, they are very important, because if you could see the day we took the photograph, those flags were blowing that way. They were blowing from east to west. But there are days like this morning when those flags fly the opposite direction. When a westerly wind swings those flags around, and that westerly wind also blows against the wall of the study. And the cinder block wall of the study is not the warmest wall in this building. Jessica has the warmest wall across the hallway from me in the administration office. But when those flags turn from east to west, I know that it's time for me to get up, from west to east, I know it's time for me to get up from my chair and grab the sweater that I keep in the office on a shelf, because the office is going to become cold. Those flags tell me that it's the right time to do that. As Jesus began his public ministry and proclaimed that the time had come, he was not reporting on a date or a day like some history textbook, but rather he was declaring that everything had been prepared. All of those things that we've heard about during the season of Advent, right? All of those prophecies of the Old Testament that were spoken and that the people longed for, that through his action, the kingdom of God could be seen. Now was that time. And from there, Jesus then invites people to respond. What time is it? Now is the time to repent. The Greek word that we translate as repent, metanoeo, is a verb that literally means to think differently, to reconsider, to turn around your life so that it is faced on a different focus. with the coming of God's kingdom in our midst. Jesus encourages those who are listening to him to reorder their lives based on this new focal point, to turn towards God's kingdom and God's reign of justice and love. It is an existential question that is presented. You can keep doing what you are doing, or you can turn and see something new that is the kingdom of God. And after this brief teaching, the gospel writer Mark then gives us an example. He goes from that one little sentence about the kingdom of God being near to Jesus walking along the shoreline where he encounters the fishermen, Simon and Andrew and James and John, all doing the things that fishermen do. Casting from the shore, maybe hoping for one last haul before the day is done. Washing and mending the nets that have become snagged on rocks on the bottom of the lake. Jesus comes to them and he says, reorder your life. Look for something different. From where they are and their concerns upon their catch, he invites them now to become concerned about the kingdom of God and to become his followers who will go with him for the next 3 years of his life, to watch him as he proclaims good news, as he heals the sick, as he opens his hand and his heart to those who are in need and assures them that they have a place in this kingdom that is located wherever he goes. But what's most interesting about Jesus' invitation to the fishermen is what he's calling them to be. There's a little bit of controversy, biblical interpretive controversy, about how the New Revised Version of the Bible translates what Jesus says. Because in our pew Bibles, as you heard this morning, Jesus' invitation to the fishermen is, come, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. But that doesn't quite get at it, I don't think. And there were smarter people than me who said that in various places over the week as I was preparing for this text, so I stand upon their shoulders. But rather, what Jesus' invitation really is the invitation to Simon and Andrew, James and John, the fishers, to come and follow him so that they can become fishers of people. It speaks about the change that will happen in them as they draw near to the gospel. And that in a qualitative way, their being will be changed. They will go from simply being fishers to fishers of people. Jesus calls people from where they are. It is the most difficult, perhaps, thing to get our heads around, isn't it? That Jesus calls each of us to be followers and to take the skills, talents, and abilities with which God has blessed us to apply them in a new way, to apply them so that we can become the fishers of people or the teachers of people or whatever your chosen quality of life is. A harvester of people, maybe, for the farmers. Jesus calls us where we are and acknowledges who we are and then invites us into the ministry. One of the most difficult things, I think, over the past number of years for folks attempting to be part of the church is to figure out exactly where their avocational ministry is. The Church of Light seems to have kind of, if anybody shows any interest in being part of the church, oh, well, you must become a minister, become part of the vocational ministry of the church. But that's not what Jesus says here. Jesus says here, I'm calling you, the fisher, to use the gifts that you have to be part of the church, the avocational ministry. The things that we do, not because we earn our livings from them, but because we have that gift and we use that gift for others. That we become people who reach out from our lives into the lives of others. It is the gift that is the important part. As we hear the story this morning of Simon and Andrew and James and John, and we know what's going to come afterwards. We've heard this story so many times. We know how they will follow Jesus, how they will struggle with Jesus, how they will misunderstand Jesus, but they will always follow. And along the way, they will be sent out, they will touch the lives of others, they will become the fishers of people that Jesus has called them to be. And so it is with us. Now is the time for us to respond to God's call and to find the ways that are our uniquely ours to reach out to others and proclaim the good news. Be it over the back fence as we chat with our neighbors or in some other volunteer capacity, the people that we meet each day. Those are the people and those are the places where the gospel is shared and heard and good news is found as we reach out in compassion and offer comfort to those who are in need. So in answer to the question, what time is it? The time is now. The time is the time of the kingdom of God bursting forth in our midst. Our role in it is to seek to be God's messengers, sharing each day good news and proclaiming that the kingdom has drawn near if we will only turn our gaze and look at it. Thanks be to God for his good news to us this morning. Friends, there is only one Lord and one God, from whom all things and from whom all things come and for whom we all live. Let us offer our lives to the Lord as we present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. We praise and thank you, O God, for the majesty of your work, for the wisdom of your word, and for the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts of our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love all around us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, once more, let us unite our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. God of Jonah and of Jesus, of Paul and all the disciples, throughout the ages you have called your people to repentance. We give you thanks for your saving grace shown to the city Nineveh, that your wrath was withheld because of their repentance. We give you thanks for the promise of Jesus, that those who turn from their evil ways and follow him are assured of new life. We give you thanks for all the disciples who testify to your faithfulness. In spite of their trials, they persevered and left us a legacy of what it means to repent. Have mercy upon us, O God, as we join this host of witnesses. Save us from your anger as we turn to you with contrite hearts, imploring your forgiveness. For you know our inmost thoughts, our hidden desires, and everything we do in betraying your will. We rely on your goodness to overcome our weakness and your endless mercy to redeem us from sin. Strengthen within us the resolve to be faithful. Give us the needed discipline to let go of old forms of security and to risk putting our trust in you and your will as we take our first few halting steps of faith. Encourage us with the vision of your reign here on earth and lift us from a sense of defeat when we are stumbling. Make us, O God of deliverance, beacons of light to show others the way. By our examples of faith, bring them a greater sense of your justice and righteousness. By our claims of obedience, lead them to be willing to practice their faith. We hold before you this day all those who teach and lead in our congregation, that others may grow in their faith. And we hold before you those in need of prayer. Especially today, we pray for Bill Hope and David Shrimpton, who are in hospital. May they know your abiding presence and your healing touch. Support us with your Holy Spirit as we surround them with our care and concern, and help us make a fresh witness to your saving grace as we reach out to the world. We pray all of these things in the name of him who calls us, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we continue in prayer in the manner that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And our closing praise for this morning is number 753 in the Book of Praise. You walk along the shoreline, 753, or as the words appear before you on the screen. Repent and believe the good news. God is with us, and God calls us for a purpose. And may the God of second chances renew your sense of call and inspire you to go out and share the good news of forgiveness and hope this day and forevermore. Amen.